You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and radiocafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. Today we're going to hear from the candidates for mayor of Santa Fe. This is a forum recorded at an event called Create the Vote, presented by Creative Santa Fe. All five mayoral candidates were present, and we asked them questions related to art, culture, and the creative economy. Our format tonight is maybe a little different from some of the other mayoral forums that have been done this year. We're going to ask everybody a question to start with, the same question for everybody. But then we're going to mix it up, and we just have lots of questions that we're going to draw out of a hat-like bucket. And everybody will have a different question to ask. They'll have 3 minutes, which is also maybe a little bit longer than normal, so people will be able to think out loud a little bit more. Thank you all for being here, and let's go. So here's the first question, which we'd like each person to answer in turn. We've all had defining moments in our lives. What personal experience with arts, culture, or creativity has had an impact on your life and your view of this community? Peter Ives.
Well, there have certainly been many moments related to the arts that inform who I am. I am actually the son of an artist, and as I put it when I came to Santa Fe, or my intentionality in moving here was because I wanted to be in a place that had good music and good art. I grew up as a singer, and certainly one of my early defining moments upon coming to Santa Fe, not only waking up for the first time in Santa Fe on August 9th, 1982, and noticing that the light was different than in Washington, D.C. that I had left 4 days earlier. But I came and I was incredibly impressed because I wanted to live in a place where arts were not an afterthought. Arts were not something you had to go and struggle to seek out. I wanted to live in a place where the arts were immediate and everywhere. And certainly for me, Santa Fe is the best place in the world to satisfy that for me. But when I got here, I was looking to get involved. And as a singer through high school, through college, through law school, I wanted to become involved in the singing community. And I found early on that your involvement in Santa Fe is only limited by the amount of time you wanted to devote to it. And so a year earlier, or 2 years earlier, a new group had formed called the Santa Fe Desert Chorale. And Larry Banfield was the creator and the funder of that organization. And I joined the board, I think, the year after I got here. I arrived in 83 permanently, joined the board of the Desert Chorale in 84, became its third president, and got involved in music and singing in Santa Fe. And I've sung in Santa Fe ever since. And that early experience was significant because it said a lot about our community. We really have an incredible richness in terms of the groups that are available to sing with. I sing now at the Cathedral, but have sung with Sangre de Cristo Chorale, Canticum Novum, Schola Cantorum, the Men's Camerata, and others. So I really found by that early experience with the Desert Chorale, it really felt like home because that was so important to me coming to Santa Fe. So tremendous richness that has defined my experience.
Kate Noble.
If there was ever an answer, you should have sung. I've been encouraging Councillor Ives to sing one of his answers because he's has such a beautiful voice. So a number of things come to mind, and I think about the styrofoam tote bag that my father outfitted with styrofoam so that I could carry green chili to New York City in college, and then how my roommates started stealing it and putting it in their spaghetti sauce and that sort of thing because it made it better for them, and I really knew the power of green chili. Or when Phil Karshus, my art history teacher at Santa Fe High, talked us through a Picasso painting, and all of a sudden it changed as we were going through the movement, and I understood something viscerally about art and the power of art education that was really, really powerful for me. But the thing I actually think I want to talk about was a surprising moment with a project that I hope many of you know about, which is Mix Santa Fe. And we established a young professionals networking project to really attract and retain talent. And we would often, we're actually beginning our ninth year. I can't believe it's been this long. But at the start of every Mix event, we have a survey. And people can take the survey and get a drink ticket. And at one, at the CCA, we asked a question about what industry these younger professionals worked in. And when the data came back, it was hugely that everyone chose to identify in a creative profession. And we had our person who was doing data at the time dig into what people had said, and very often, because we had another question as to where do you work and what do, it didn't look as if they were actually in a traditionally defined creative profession. But we realized that Santa Fe defines itself, and the people here identify hugely as creative and in creative professions. And this is a thing that we have in common and that we have as a value very often to be creative and to say, you know, I am creative. And to me, that is really critical in defining our economy and understanding the people as we go forward, that this is such a deeply rooted and widely held part of our identity, that we are creative and that we can solve problems creatively. And I think that that is an incredibly valuable thing that in Santa Fe is unique and special. And as we move forward into the future, we need to magnify and amplify and really use that in our work.
Ron Trujillo.
Thank you. You know, when I talk creativity, art, and culture, it's got to come back to culture. You know, I say it loud and proud, I was born and raised here. And when you're born and raised here with a surname Trujillo, you better learn Spanish. You better understand Spanish. And when you have a great-grandmother that's 96 years old at the time, and all she does is speak Spanish, if you're going to speak to her, you better learn Spanish. And so that was the thing that my parents always emphasized on me. You know, be proud of who you are, be proud of where you came from, be proud of your culture. And I have been, you know, I'm very proud that, you know, that culture thrives here in Santa Fe. It thrives with all different cultures in Santa Fe. That's what makes our city so unique. The diverse cultures that live here, you know, and live in harmony is what the wonderful thing is. My defining moment, probably when I really understood about my culture, was back when I decided to run for De Vargas back in 1994. I had known about my culture. I had been participating in fiestas. But until you actually take that role of Don Diego de Vargas and you understand what happened here in Santa Fe, you know, many years ago, how it affected this community, you have a better understanding of our history. You have a better understanding of the cultures, the Native American, the Hispanic. What went on back then? So that was a huge turning point in my life as a young man at the time, 25, but also my devotion. I think all of us here, you know, that you know, as a Catholic, we're very devoted to La Conquistadora, our patron saint here in Santa Fe. So you know, we're talking, you know, diversity, culture, those are values that I hold dear to my heart. And I would never want those ever taken away from me, you know. So when you hear me brag about it, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because, like with all of us, we're all proud of where we came from, you know, and living here in this city, which, you know, and I mentioned many times, some of us were born and raised here. Some of us got here 30-some years ago. Some of us got here a few years ago. But what we need to remember, we're all Santa Fecinos. We're all part of this community, and that's what makes us all, you know, united. And that's what I'd like to say about my defining time back then. So thank you very much.
Alan Weber.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. This is, I think my fellow candidates would agree, of all of the forums we've had, this is the most distinctive and I think one we've all been looking forward to as we've gone through the other events. My defining moment came 15 years ago when my wife Frances and I pulled into Santa Fe. Frances is an architect and a designer and a woodworker who grew up on the western slope of Colorado, about an hour from Aspen. And so when we came to Santa Fe, she felt immediately at home when it came to the blue skies and the mountains, and the quality of life, and the sense of place. But something was different, and in fact much better than the western slope of Colorado, because at one point, Frances had been offered the job of being the urban planner for the city of Aspen, and had turned it down. She turned it down because it was becoming a place you wouldn't want to be. And the defining moment when we knew that as husband and wife was when we went to visit her family and her folks and noticed that all of the bookstores in the heart of Aspen, Colorado, had been priced out of existence. And you couldn't find a bookstore in walking distance of the downtown area of Aspen. But when we came to Santa Fe, we noticed there were bookstores everywhere. There were bookstores of all kinds. There were historic bookstores. There were popular bookstores. There were bookstores with coffee shops. There were bookstores with magazines. And I'm an ex-magazine guy, so that was an immediate tip-off that it was a great place to live. And then we discovered all of the other cultural and artistic attributes in our first visit here. We went out to dinner and discovered the amazing cuisine. We went into the galleries and museums and feasted on the history and culture of Santa Fe and of New Mexico. And then the real defining moment came when we noticed there was a ticket for sale, a couple tickets for sale, for a pianist who was touring from New York City. And there was no way, if you were in New York City, you could ever get a ticket to this person's recital. But we walked up to the window the day of the performance and bought two tickets and sat through a memorable and beautiful experience. And when we left that piano recital, we were determined that Santa Fe would be our home for the rest of our lives because of its offerings, because of its culture, its history, its depth of expression, and the welcoming nature that it gives to everyone who cares about art and culture.
Joe Maestas.
Thank you. My defining moment actually happened very late in life when I became the city councilman representing District 2, which includes Canyon Road and Museum Hill. I had this kind of aura of, wow, this is kind of a glitzy area, high society, rich tourists, but as I settled into my job, the defining moment was discovering the struggles, the behind-the-curtain struggles that artists have in finding housing. And I thank Creative Santa Fe for educating the community about the plight of artists when it comes to their difficulty in finding live-work housing. Another defining moment was talking to gallery owners and discovering that many of them are using their life savings to keep their galleries open. The other defining moment is, this is more of a comfortable defining moment, it's how arts and creativity can bridge the social divide in our community. And we do so by engaging our youth through city-funded programs and partnering with organizations like Wise Fool New Mexico, organizations like National Dance Institute that take our at-risk, low-income youth and expose them to the arts and they start their journey of self-discovery. And it really starts laying the foundation to help our youth succeed. And so the most defining moment is arts, how arts and creativity is very quietly, under the radar, bridging that social divide that we have in Santa Fe. And so I think the NDIs and the Wise Fool New Mexico and the Sight Santa Fe's of our community, they're the unsung heroes that are working day in and day out with our community. But, you know, we can't just limit the focus and continue being a Canyon Road and Plaza-centric community. We need to find a way to support, and I'm talking about real support, with funding and infrastructure. Support areas that are budding, like Rufina Circle, like Siler Road, like Airport Road. And that's why I have introduced legislation that has passed. It passed the City Council to explore the creation of arts and cultural districts to make sure that we celebrate arts and cultural events and institutions citywide and bridge that social divide. Thank you.
So the next question we'll start with Kate, and I'm just going to draw it out of this hat thing. Kate Noble, how do you see the city supporting opportunities and addressing challenges at the intersection of arts and technology, and what is an example of where you have seen that done well?
What an excellent question. I don't know who submitted that, but the intersection of arts and technology is an area that I think is very, very rich and has been explored for quite some time. There was a project called the Santa Fe Complex, which worked at the intersection of arts, technology, and science. And now we have Make Santa Fe, which is a makerspace and is really enabling the innovation economy in new ways with modern manufacturing tools. These are routers, they're laser etchers. There's a number of things going on. And 3D printing, which of course allows for replication very quickly and easily of objects and other things. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And to some extent, I think the city's role can be to lift up a lot of what is going on. We have amazing things in art, in technology, and we need always to better communicate and understand and eliminate the silos in our city so that there can be cross-pollination and ideas traded in the art sector, in the technology sector, in the artistic technology sector, in the technology art sector. And really stop seeing any boundaries between them, but that it all moves together. Another great example is Currents and Outdoor Vision Fest, which I guess won't be going on any longer at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, but to see buildings painted with projection is really incredible. And you know, the other thing that the city can do is really actively foster this through whether it's competitions to lift up what is going on in art and technology and celebrate this as an emerging part of our culture. Because even in thinking about, let's say, lowriders and what can be done with the paint jobs and the hydraulics in these beautiful cars that we're doing, you know, to expand our definition of arts and culture to really include everything and to look at how technological advances can enhance and make new things possible. And Santa Fe can be on the forefront of that, and the city can celebrate it, support it, it can drive our tourist economy, and it can drive young people and really be a sector that attracts young people but also keeps them here if we lift up and make these opportunities possible. We have so many assets in technology, in science, the likes of the Santa Fe Institute and Los Alamos National Labs, and to bring them all together and really foster cooperation and creativity.
Next question for Ron Trujillo. How do you feel about the rise of the platform economy in Santa Fe? For instance, Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, and so on. What are the pros and cons of this change for the city? And how would you as mayor address the pros and cons of the growth of this sector?
Well, first we're talking about Uber. We can talk about that. It's great that we're able to call someone. They'll pick us up wherever we need to go for very, very little, it seems. But at the same time, too, is unfortunately, we've seen some of our taxi cabs that had been here for decades that ended up closing. So right there, pro and con. You have a business that was thriving for many, many years, but then you have another business come in offering cheaper rates, thus pushing one business out that had been here for decades. Could you give me back on just, I lost a few of them. Okay, the Airbnb. For decades, we've had many people throughout Santa Fe, but mostly on the east side, that would rent out their second casita, be it an extra room, which at the time, was legal. Over the years, the city wanted to get a hold of who was renting, where they're renting. Sometimes that, it's a good thing, of course, because we're capturing that. But sometimes it is bad because you've had a lot of these older generational families that this is their only form of income. Sometimes when you have the city saying, well, you've got to pay us this much, this much, this much. Some of these families are on fixed incomes. We've seen that, and that's the thing. What I think the city needs to be able to work more with these people as to say, wait a minute, we can look at, what you're paying us, and maybe we can work something out. Well, of course we want to get, that's what the city is trying to do, is get that revenue from these rentals for their permits. But at the same time, too, let's not make it so hard for people to do business in this community, especially those people that have had these houses for generations and just want to, truthfully, rent out their property so they can make income for survival. So I think the city can do a lot in that, and a lot of that has come by ordinance changes, by resolutions, but what I'd like to have more of is more dialogue, more talk. That has been pretty much the platform of my campaign, is let's sit down, let's have that dialogue. The city shouldn't always be the one just saying, this is the way it goes. We have to have more dialogue with our neighborhoods, with our constituents, before we move forward on a lot of these ordinances and resolutions. All it takes is conversation. Start the conversation, have the dialogue, bring people to the table, and we can come up with better solutions. So that is my goal as your next mayor, to have that dialogue, have that conversation, bring everyone. And when I mean everyone, it's you, the stakeholders, the taxpayers, into the conversation.
Here's a question for Alan Weber. Can you provide examples on how you would integrate the arts, culture, and creative communities in helping to improve multicultural relations in the city? And while he's answering that, can somebody fix my mic?
Well, the first way I would improve multicultural relations is to fix your mic. if you read the Culture Connects report, which I think is a fine piece of work, it points out that culture connects, but also, as Joseph said in his opening remarks, culture can divide. And the real work of the next mayor is to try to overcome the divisions in our community and make sure that going forward we are one city where culture is a force to bring people together and not to isolate people or leave them self-conscious or feeling left out. And I agree with Joseph. We have more than one part of the city that is really culturally rich and culturally proud. Airport Road and the businesses and the people on Airport Road are phenomenal in their ability to express their culture and their heritage and their history. The University of Art and Design in the middle of the city is another area where we have an opportunity to create ways for people to bring together. And then obviously we have the historic downtown and and the areas where we have tourists enjoying the cultural offerings of our city. But I think the next mayor needs to be creative in thinking about ways to cross-pollinate the city's offerings. I think we can all imagine the fun of an opera staged on Airport Road and the chance to actually celebrate something that would bring people together around an experience that they ought to have, everyone ought to have access to. The Lenzic ought to be a place where everybody in the city is welcome, young and old, of all parts of our community. We ought to make sure that our students, who often feel left out, our young, very, very creative artists in school, where they haven't been yet told they can't be creative, and so they are, we ought to make sure that they're allowed to have access to program at the Lenzic. We ought to have pop-up galleries where empty storefronts are turned over to our young people so they can have their first exhibit in a pop-up gallery anywhere in the city of Santa Fe. Hackathons are a way of combining technology, entertainment, and design, and again, keeping young people across the city engaged in building the kind of future that they want. So I think the opportunities are incredibly rich. Some of them are laid out in the Culture Connects report. Others are things that you simply learn from listening to people talk, from what their aspirations are and what their eager feelings are, to hear, have their voices heard and to be visible in a city that belongs to everyone and ought to respect everyone's artistic contribution.
Here's a question for Joe Maestas. We asked high school students for their questions and thoughts about this forum, and they all responded that they are looking for safe and creative outlets for artistic expression and to grow their career opportunities. What would you do as mayor to support Santa Fe's middle and high school populations?
That's a great question. Right now, the city is quite generous. Many people don't realize, but we allocate about $1 million for human services, social safety net programs, and we also set aside about $1.5 million for youth and families issues. Through the youth and families program, we have many opportunities for kids to have an outlet during the summer after school. I think in my opening remarks, I mentioned a few programs that we have. We have after school and summer programs that are being hosted by Wise Fool New Mexico, Site Santa Fe, National Dance Institute. So as mayor, I'll make sure that we continue that investment, but we need to increase that investment, believe it or not. We are not coming anywhere close to meeting the real need there, and the governing body just changed that ordinance. Instead of establishing a cap of funding, I think it's 3% of our gross receipts tax. It's a minimum now, it's a basement. And so we're prepared to move forward. It's gonna depend on the financial health of the city going forward, but we've already set the stage to provide additional funding for youth programs so that they can have that outlet and they can discover their talents in the arts and figure out that recipe for success. And arts, I think, is one of those factors, I think, in that formula for success. And so it's all about untapping potential, right? And when we can do that, not just to our youth, but to our at-risk youth, that has to be a good thing. We just had a youth summit at the end of 2017, and we heard a lot from our youth. The number one concern was a lack of job opportunities. And I realize that's not so much connected to the arts. I think the number three or four issue was they want more things to do. And so they need outlets to express themselves. As mayor, I'll make sure that we continue the youth advisory board and that we create these safe havens for them and give them venues to dance, you know, a place we can have teen dances, a poet slam. I think, you know, folks, you know, young teens are trying to understand the world, and they feel like us adults don't understand them, and so they need that outlet, they need that venue to share with their peers and make it a special area to express themselves. So as mayor, I'll definitely do more and provide more programs for our teens.
Question for Peter Ives. How would you encourage economic development in a creative community like Santa Fe and avoid one of the main problems that comes with it, namely inflation of housing prices?
Several things come immediately to mind. One, the city, of course, needs to play a very significant role in ensuring that the infrastructure for the creative economy exists all across Santa Fe. One significant aspect of that is, of course, broadband, Wi-Fi, because the modern economy is driven on that engine, and certainly the creative economy, film, digital media, all of those types of jobs that will become significant in Santa Fe's future truly rely upon that. So the city, back a couple of years ago, invested about $1 million in broadband, creating gigabyte speeds down around the rail yard area in order to stimulate the expansion and the increase in speeds all across the city. And we've seen the various companies that provide those services coming to the city as a result and wanting to partner with the city to extend it further out. We've also redone our telecommunications ordinance to allow for the smaller antennas that will be the precursors to 5G service. We've simplified that process so it's in line with federal law. And so we should be seeing, again, upticks in that, which will expand, hopefully, the opportunity for the creative economy. And quite frankly, when it comes to housing, we are simply in a crisis state. Our vacancy rate in terms of apartments is 0.5%. So I've become an advocate for affordable housing, suggesting modifications to the additional dwelling unit ordinance to allow two smaller homes rather than a large one. I've been a strong supporter of the Arts and Creativity Center on Siler Road, which is now hopefully moving forward to apply for low-income housing tax credits. I've brought forward another low-income housing tax credit project proposal at Zia and Yucca, which is part of the city's analysis of where we can put affordable housing. I've also worked with the mayor to stimulate the construction of Paseo del Sol, the primary arterial in Tierra Contenta. We're up to, with the remaining acreage there, if we build that arterial road, we could see up to 1,900 to 2,000 new homes. So we desperately need the housing, and that itself, bringing our workers back into Santa Fe, as well as creating the housing for our young creatives, as well as our seniors, as well as others, will be one of the most immediate impacts to the Santa Fe economy.
Question for Kate Noble. Culture Connects Santa Fe is a community-wide effort to shape the cultural future of our city. Of all of the recommendations made, which one or ones would be your priority and why?
The Culture Connects project was, I think, really an amazing process, and I have to give great credit to the Arts Commission and Esteban Rael Galvez, who did the project, for reaching out to the whole community and really pulling in the objects and stories around culture in Santa Fe. And it's really, I think, an important piece to continue to look at the stories that we have and to build from that, because really the question that we need to continue to grapple with is how art can knit us together and how we can use art as a way to really be more inclusive as a city, particularly around public works projects and even some of the construction there. And I haven't read the Culture Connects document in quite some time. I read it when it came out. And I really do think that the city needs to unlock engagement more through the arts, because even something as complicated as the rebuilding of Cerrillos Road was confusing to people. And the more that we can meet people where they are and use art as a communications piece to an engagement tool to get people to really care about and understand what's going on. And I think, you know, using our ecology as well, things like at the Remike project in 2012, the Art Institute had people walking back and forth with blue chalk and drawing where the arroyo was to create awareness there. So, you know, pulling people together through our artistic roots and using it for city projects to engage and really bridge divides as we move forward, particularly around development, because as Councillor Ives just outlined, the housing crisis is very, very serious in Santa Fe, and this is something we need to get to grips with as a community, and art can be a tool to bring people together and hopefully communicate in ways that are more authentic and heartfelt to get us over some of the NIMBYism and some of the issues and fears, because really people are often objecting to things out of fear of change. And I think that art and culture can be a tool to move beyond that.
Question for Ron Trujillo. How do you see the arts having the ability to reframe the way we talk about difficult topics?
Well, I mean, you know, what I have seen is, you know, during my time here in Santa Fe, especially with our youth, you know, I'm a coach. For those of you who don't know, I've been a coach since my early 20s, so kids are really important to me. But sometimes you have some kids that take a different path, go a different way, and they struggle. And what I've been able to see with art is, you know, sometimes these kids don't actually know exactly what they really want to do in life. And what I've seen in the time that I've gone to some of these courses with them, that they find an outlet, something that they've never, they find a passion that's inside them, that they are an artist and something they never knew they were. And I've been able to witness some of these kids that were struggling, and all of a sudden, when they started drawing, when they started molding some clay, when they just started getting paint and just putting it on paper, it was a different person. It was a kid now that didn't have a care in the world. All the bad things that were happening were now far away, and to me, that's a great outlet. That you know, and we definitely need to have more of that in this community. For me, our kids are extremely important. You know, I've dedicated pretty much my 12 years dealing with how do we make a lot of good things for our children here in Santa Fe. As it's mentioned, there's not a lot for kids to do here in this community. We have to have more outlets. We've had discussion about, you know, putting up walls in different parts of the city so that our kids can go out there and just draw a picture, draw on a wall. You know, even if we have to build the wall, it can be done. We need to follow through on this to give our kids more outlets and let them express their creativity. That's the great thing about, you know, being a kid. You know, you know you're a kid. You know, you can do wrong, but sometimes you can't do no wrong. And that's what we want you. We want our kids to thrive in this community. But it's imperative that, yes, the city plays a part, the schools play a part, the county plays a part, the state plays a part. That's what I want to have. I want to have collaboration with all these different entities as to how we make our lives of kids in this city better. And I want to have that conversation with you as well. And I believe our kids want to have that conversation because I've spoken with them. You know, Ron, if somebody would just ask us, we're part of this community. Even though we don't vote, we're part of this community. And as someone, like I said, I've been a coach all these years. I understand what kids want. I listen to them. But it takes more than just listening. It takes action. And that's what I want to be. As your next mayor, I want to have that action.
Question for Alan Weber. How would you define or describe a great higher education center that would be at the core of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design Midtown property?
Well, what are we trying to achieve with that property? What do we need to have happen there? I think all the things you've touched on this evening come together at that location. It is a location where culture truly can connect. It's the geographic center of our city. It is a place where arts and technology combine and should be continued to be celebrated and taught and practiced. It's a place where we can deal with some of the housing issues that Kate and Peter have spoken about already, where we could have a new town in town with sustainable development and walkable neighborhoods and livable community with good transit service and a chance for a real statement about the kind of community we want to grow and build going forward. I think at the heart of it is an opportunity for an educational offering that reflects both Santa Fe's remarkable history in art, culture, technology, entertainment, and design, and what we're seeing now as the emerging new economy of Santa Fe, represented by what Joseph was talking about with Meow Wolf, Siler Road, with Descartes Labs, and other startups and entrepreneurial activities that are really not all that different from what Santa Fe has always been historically, but simply represent the next iteration of a culture that has always been about being on the cutting edge of innovation and creativity, now marrying technology, entertainment, and design into the blend that is the new economy, not just in Santa Fe, but worldwide. If you look at the companies and the startups that are growing their footprint, they really combine those factors. They combine technology, entertainment, broadly defined, and design thinking. Now, there is one organization that I think exemplifies that offering, and it's the D School at Stanford, D as in design. Started by some of the people from the design firm IDEO, the D School at Stanford brings together entrepreneurial thinking, business capability, design thinking, technology, and really the evolution of the new economy. So I think that the best option for Santa Fe would be to sit down with the folks at the D School and the IDEO founders and point out that we have a brand that is much fresher and deeper and older and more forward-thinking than anything in the Bay Area right now, which is being overrun by its own success. Nobody can afford to live in the Bay Area. And so the earlier question about how do you deal with gentrification and economic success is the D School should come to Santa Fe.
Question for Joe Maestas. How can the city incorporate arts into the city design and planning process?
Great question. I don't know if folks understand this or maybe are aware of it, but we do have an Arts in Public Places program, and it's modeled after the state. The state also has an Arts in Public Places. What that program entails is for every bricks and mortar or capital outlay appropriation from the state legislature, a certain percentage of those funds are set aside for arts projects. And in the case of the city has its own capital improvement plan. And the city does, by law, set aside a certain percentage of those funds for arts in public places. And so I wanted to address the funding because it's hard to integrate anything, especially in planning, if you don't have resources. And so I think the arts in public places with respect to government funding and bricks and mortar projects, I think, is a great start. And what I think we need to do is, as I mentioned at the outset of my remarks, is we have become a bit too plaza and Canyon Road centered when it comes to a concentration of arts, sculptures and what have, even galleries. You know, we have over 250 galleries, and I guarantee you there are not many in the south side of Santa Fe. And so that's why I believe we need to create, we need to follow through and create these arts and cultural districts. And again, it's a very flexible program where it can be a traditional celebration, it can apply for and become an arts and cultural district, it can be a facility, an institution, it can be any range of things. But the bottom line is, it's a way to celebrate arts throughout Santa Fe, not just the northern part of Santa Fe, and use public money as a catalyst, as a facilitator. Now, we all know that public monies have their limitations, and as mayor, I'll make sure that the city resources do just that. You know, incentivize the cooperation of the folks out there involved in philanthropy and are willing to provide private resources. And I think, folks, it's not impossible for us to have these districts. Again, in the Siler Road District, once the Arts and Creativity Center is going to be built, and it is going to be built, right, Daniel? So we're already seeing several projects that are anchoring Rufina Circle, Siler Road, and Airport Road. So, folks, it's not impossible. It is definitely within the realm of possibility.
Question for Peter Ives. Many people think of art and culture as a decorative element, a kind of add-on or entertainment. How do you see Santa Fe's culture as a more fundamental part of our identity? How does it shape our community and its economy?
In my opening remarks, I noted that one of the things that brought me to Santa Fe was the fact that arts were an everyday, all-day experience in Santa Fe. Having that relationship to art, and I will say that there has been a great development in art in Santa Fe in the 34 years I've been here, from a lot of cowboys and Indians when I first got here to an incredibly broad and diverse richness, not only in terms of painting and those types of media arts, but film, digital media, and really reaching into every nook and cranny of arts possibility. And I think that helps us really understand culture in a significant way, because art generally grows from culture. If you look at the Spanish Colonial Art Society, a museum, an institution, a market dedicated to traditional Spanish arts, with, of course, the contemporary market as well. But that market informs 400 years of Santa Fe's existence in terms of the presence of Spanish culture in this part of the world. And that was deeply religious in nature, but it has become so much more. And its presence and its continued existence throughout Santa Fe affirms those roots. Indian Market, going into, I believe, its 97th year here in Santa Fe, the oldest Native American market, I believe, in the country, and certainly the largest. Another great example of the respect that Santa Fe and all of us pay to our native populations, their arts, their creativity, and so much of Santa Fe, if you certainly get out to the galleries, if you get out to the shops, contains that art and that culture everywhere across the city of Santa Fe. So the arts really inform our day-to-day lives here in Santa Fe, and it keeps the culture and the diversity of this city immediately in front of us and tangibly part of our everyday lives. So I think it's critical to who we are, and I think we have to continue to respect that and elevate it to remain a very relevant and diverse community through its arts.
Kate Noble, what are the top infrastructure priorities in Santa Fe that would benefit creative people?
Well, some of the magic of government is really knowing where the public sector should play and where the private sector should play. And infrastructure is really a critical role of government in making sure that we have robust infrastructure and truly, even to support the creative economy, I would say, you know, good streets, good parks, clean water, sewers that work, all of these things are pretty important because without that, really, we can't have a creative economy because we'll be looking for the basics. Broadband, though, is the thing that really comes to mind in terms of supporting the creative economy because we need to evolve our economy in all senses, including in the creative economy, and broadband allows us to do that. It gives access to other markets throughout the world for artists, allows us, obviously, to send visuals very quickly to anywhere in the world, and the city has taken a first important step. We broke the monopoly for CenturyLink when we did phase one of the broadband project that Councillor Ives referenced earlier. And I will never forget the moment that our broadband project manager came into my office and said, I've figured it out. We can really invigorate our wholesale market by breaking CenturyLink's monopoly and installing an alternative cable, really, into the old phone company on East Alameda. And the next step in our broadband project is to compel through our franchise agreements, through the public rights of way, our incumbent carriers, who are CenturyLink and Comcast, to use the overhead space on our poles because it's much less complicated than digging. To go on for infrastructure to compel the creative economy, really having a beautiful city is important. Art in public places, in our parks, integrated as much as possible, as I mentioned, into public works projects and to be used as a communication and a tool to really engage the community is very, very important. And using the funding that exists for arts and children and youth and weaving things together with our public schools so that we make sure that our kids have access to arts, arts education, arts inspiration, and can really become the artists of the future because we need to continue to feed that foundation of our young people in order to make sure that we have a creative economy going into the future.
Ron Trujillo, what would be your plan for promoting Santa Fe's artistic and cultural assets to attract new and returning visitors to Santa Fe? And give a few examples. Feel free to reference initiatives that have or have not worked in the past.
Well, we definitely need to promote, not only within the city, within the state, nationally and worldly. You know, we're in Santa Fe. We're worldly known. But we do have some artists, some businesses in here that aren't. One thing that I would love to see is, you know, we have a beautiful community convention center. We need to utilize that. We need to invite people from throughout the state, throughout the United States, throughout the world to come to Santa Fe and showcase our businesses, our arts, so that they can see, you know, some of these people, places don't know, you know, what Santa Fe has to offer. They know us on the worldwide stage, of course, Santa Fe, but a lot of them really don't know us. So to me, also advertising. I don't think we can get enough advertising, you know, throughout the world. One of the things, I mean, this, I consider it an art. I consider sports an art form. I would love to send the word out to the world, come to Santa Fe, high altitude training. You see all these Olympic athletes happening now, you know, I would love to see them come here to Santa Fe and train. You know, it may not be, you know, arts but I consider sports an art form. Anybody that can hit a 99 mile per hour fastball, That's an art, in my opinion. Yeah. But what I say is you know, again, you okay? All right. It's going to take dialogue. It's going to have that conversation. And I think the city, we do a great job right now. We have personnel. We have people within that do a good job. Can we do better? Of course we can do better. We can always do better in this community to promote it. But again, you know, we're Santa Fe. We're promoted well, but we need to think about our smaller businesses. A lot of our smaller businesses, they do struggle here. You know, and we need to say, you know what, as a city, we want to be a partner. We need to know what's it going to take for you to succeed. We want to, like I said, we want to extend our hand to you and say, what do you need of the city to make you thrive? That's what it's going to take, dialogue, having the conversation. Because I know there's a lot of business in here that would just wish that, hey, if I could just get a little bit of help from the city, I could thrive. You know, the city's very generous. I mean, we've given money to a lot of different companies here in this community. We need to look at a broader range. You know, we need to look at smaller businesses, nonprofits, to help them out as well. Because sometimes I've spoken to some of these businesses. They said, you know, Ron, how come this person can get this much money, but yet I can't get it? Is that fair? I don't think it's fair at all. I said the city needs to be more diligent in the way it gives out money and more fair as well. But again, that's going to take dialogue and have talk, and that is something that I will be doing as mayor.
Alan Weber. Nationally and locally, we are seeing resentment and tensions among different cultural groups. In Santa Fe, what do you see are those divides, and how would you address them?
Well, we're no different than any other part of the United States when it comes to being susceptible to some of the waves that are coming out of Washington, D.C., and filling our ears with hate talk and divisive them versus us language. Santa Fe's history, since we're in the History Museum, and I got here an hour early, I had a great opportunity to walk around. You know, Santa Fe's history is of trying to deal with those divides from the beginning and doing better than most places most of the time and sometimes stubbing our toe and not doing as well as we should. The example of the Entrada is probably what comes most immediately to mind, something that Ron spoke about earlier. And I think we have, particularly in the context of what's going on in the national angry spirit of the moment, a remarkable opportunity to demonstrate a different way to solve problems and bridge divides. The history of the Spanish participation in coming into New Mexico, the history of the land we're on right now, the history of the 1680 Pueblo Revolt, and then the return of the Spanish, and then gradually, as depicted out in the halls, the part of the New Mexico becoming part of the Union, is something that no other state in this country can talk about the way we can. And so we have a remarkable opportunity to take the Entrada and to take our history and to turn it into a national curriculum around forgiveness, around compassion, around understanding, around dealing with trauma. I think it's a chance for the next mayor and the next council to sit down with all the parties that are involved and recognize that while art is personal, so is history. And everyone's history matters, and everybody's version of history, everybody's take on history deserves respect and an equal amount of hearing and an equal opportunity to be told and listened to. And so if I am your next mayor, I will take the opportunity represented by this potentially divisive part of our history to turn it into a history lesson, not only for ourselves and allow ourselves to face our own history, but to take it outside of Santa Fe and New Mexico and create a curriculum about forgiveness, compassion, overcoming trauma, and bringing people together at a time when that's more important than ever.
Joe Maestas, what past mayor in Santa Fe's history do you feel made the most positive impact on the cultural legacy of the city, and how would you build on that legacy?
That's a good question. I think of Mayor Larry Delgado. If many of you recall, when the city was considering building the convention center, you know, as a matter of policy, we do archaeological reviews on any kind of project whenever there's any kind of disturbance. And if you recall, they discovered many dwellings there by the Tizuque Pueblo. And, you know, obviously it's a sacred place to the Tizuque people. We have an intent as a city to build a convention center. We had a long-standing need to do it. So trying to exercise the tact and the diplomacy to meet with the head of a sovereign nation and address the fact that the city wishes to build in the same area of an archaeological dig for that particular pueblo. So for him to actually accomplish a compromise in terms of where to identify the building footprint of the convention center to minimize any disturbance of the Tizuque Pueblo ruins, I think was incredible. And we have our beautiful convention center today. We enjoy a very good relationship with Tizuque Pueblo. And that's why it's important that the next mayor has that experience. As a former mayor, I too sat across the table and negotiated with tribal governors over issues like tribal easements, you know, water service lines. I mean, things that that are necessary for a community. And it's an awesome job when you know, and I think we all know, that tribal governments insist on a government-to-government, and I mean tribal government-to-federal government relationship. And so when they agree to enter a dialogue and a compromise on thorny issues like where to locate a convention center to avoid disturbing these historic ruins of their pueblo, those are incredible, incredible issues. And so my immediate pick is Larry Delgado. And I know that those negotiations weren't very easy. How can it be easy? How do you reconcile that? How do you stay focused on your mission, but yet be willing to engage and compromise and be very sensitive to the impacts that such an endeavor would have? Thank you.
Peter Ives. Santa Fe is blessed with a rich mix of arts and cultural organizations. Please describe one or two significant arts or cultural experiences you've had here recently that's not the Desert Corral.
There still are many, so... Let me start off with just one of the groups I've sung with. I actually never sang with the Desert Corral because that required a full-time commitment, which as an attorney I could not give, so merely on the board. But so I recently, I sing at the cathedral in the choir, and we'll be cantering the 8 a.m. Mass on Sunday, if anybody's down there, for the first Sunday of Lent, some of the most beautiful music ever written for this season in the church year. But another group I sang with off and on for over 30 years is a group called Schola Cantorum, which is focused on much of the early music of the church, Gregorian chant and Renaissance polyphony. And Renaissance polyphony is the music that sings most inside me. And we have an opportunity a number of years ago to represent Santa Fe on a trip singing in some of the major cathedrals across northern Italy, including the Vatican, and to be able to sing the music of the church over five centuries or more in places like the Vatican, in places like the Lateran Church, in places like Assisi, certainly for me was an incredibly deeply enriching moment. And we sang that same music here. And we sang the music of the Americas in the church. So that's one organization that, for me, certainly has deep cultural roots in New Mexico, as well as throughout the world, and really was a connector for me and significant in my life. I also, in the past, for about 20 years, was a member of the board of the Santa Fe Council for the Arts. And if anybody remembers that group, it was focused on helping artists. Larry Ogan was the president of the organization, and a number of us had the privilege to serve with Larry over that period of time. He has now passed, unfortunately. But it was very enriching, not only because it put one in touch with the artists across the Santa Fe community, but was a support group for them because many artists struggle. It certainly not doesn't pay well for many. So that was another organization that was wonderful.
So this is our closing question, and we're going to have everybody answer it. So if you don't mind, let's just go the opposite way from how we started. So we'll start with Joe Maestas, and the same question will be answered by all five of you. What is the role of our historical cultural traditions in Santa Fe in the new creative economy?
Well, when I think about Santa Fe, I think about sense of place. And when you think about art, if we don't have a sense of place, then I don't know. It's always open for interpretation, but I think that some of our art has to have some reflection of our sense of place, and in order to do that, it has to reflect our history. And we have quite a history that goes back over four centuries. And it's a wonderful, I think, cultural mix. But if you read the preamble of our city charter, it makes it very clear who we are. It's beautiful. If you haven't read it, I suggest you read it. But it basically just declares our community as one that is inclusive and respectful of people from all walks of life, all cultures. And so I think that is our strength, folks. When I was asked to give a presentation on what does it really take to attract millennials, well, millennials want high-paying jobs, they want affordable housing, and they want a quality of life. And I think our quality of life and sense of place is second to none. And I think that it is part of our strength. But as I said at the outset, we need to make sure that the entire community celebrates the arts, has access to the arts, has an opportunity to discover themselves through the arts. And again, this isn't just small children. If you think about how we express ourselves when we dance, and I know all of you dance. And so, you know, that's some of the most primal kind of expression of maybe our mood or how we feel. And so the same holds true with the history here in Santa Fe. We know how unique it is, and I believe that a history of New Mexico and even a history of Santa Fe for curriculum here in our public schools ought to be a must. Because when I took a history of New Mexico class, it completely changed me. And at the conclusion of the course, the professor asked me, well, Joe, you can take a comprehensive final or you can do a genealogy. And I did the genealogy, and it changed my life in understanding what my roots are and who I am. It changed my whole perspective. And so we do have a unique sense of place that's steeped in a wonderful history.
Alan Weber.
Well, thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for this format where we each got a surprise question drawn from something that does not resemble a hat in any way. And thank you for your last question. When I ran Fast Company magazine 25 years ago, we would always ask, with every article that we published, what's the definition of success? What's the definition of victory for a business, for a startup, for our own magazine? Is it simply to grow as big as we can, as fast as we can, to make as much money as possible? Or is there something more essential than size, money, and scale? I think that's at the heart of the question you're asking about Santa Fe's future. What's our definition of success for Santa Fe? Right now, we're witnessing around the United States and probably around the world the death of diversity. We're not only seeing species go extinct, we're seeing local cultures go extinct at a dramatic rate, fueled by high-speed internet connectivity, ubiquitous cell phone service, air service, and the commodification of virtually everything. Every place is becoming exactly like every place else, except Santa Fe. So my definition of victory for Santa Fe is that we keep our sense of ourselves sacrosanct. What doth it profit a man if he gains the world and lose his soul? Well, the same is true of a community or a city or a people. We can grow very, very quickly if we want. We can lose touch with our past and our history, the things that make this place so remarkable, unique. Or we can stay in touch with those values and those cultural artifacts that define Santa Fe and use them as the touchstone for how we build our own version of a new economy. Now, I promise you that Mark Johnson and Descartes Lab would not be here if Santa Fe were exactly the same as Silicon Valley. Why do we need another Silicon Valley? We already have one. What we need is a Santa Fe that respects and understands and celebrates our history, our culture, ourselves, our differences, and then carries those differences forward in the way in which we tell our stories, make our movies, cook our food, have music all over the city, talk to our young people about why growing up here is so remarkable and special, inculcate those values in schools and on the streets of our city in the way the city appears and looks and feels. And when we do that, we will have a past that we are still proud of and a future that we are even more excited about creating.
Ron Trujillo.
Thank you, and as well, thank you all for coming. We all appreciate you coming up and listening to us, even though sometimes we can be boring, but it's all good. Well, the role historic traditions play on our economy. I can name Fiestas. I can name Spanish Market. I can name Indian Market. I can name Canyon Road. I can name Canyon Road on Christmas Eve. And the good thing about it, we all know what the difference between a luminaria and a farolito. But when we look at this, we talk traditions. And that's what makes Santa Fe unique. Santa Fe, the only one that does it. Our traditions, our cultures are like no other in the world. But what I've seen in my life is some of those traditions we're losing. And why are we losing that? Because our kids are leaving. This goes back to trying to keep our children here, wanting them to learn their cultures, whatever culture that is, expanding on that culture, making them proud of that culture. That's what it's about. But too many times I've seen, and I've heard it from kids I've coached, "Coach, I love Santa Fe. This is my hometown. But there's no jobs here. There's no place for me to live here. So I have to move." These are the things that sadden me because, as I said, I coach these kids. When me and my wife talk about our kids, our son's a sophomore at New Mexico State, our daughter's a freshman at the community college, I'm hoping that those jobs, will be here for them to stay so that they live here in Santa Fe. But those are the things we as a city need to be thinking of for the future, because our kids are our future. Those are the next generation of Santa Fecinos. So we definitely have to be looking at that. But, when you look at economy, what thrives here? I mean, bandstand on the, you know, when you have the bandstand on the plaza. Wonderful. I think all of us enjoy that. It's so great. And to see all the tourists that are staying in Santa Fe at the time, just coming out, just enjoying it, you know, and they've said, wow, we don't have this where we're at. This is great. But I think, again, too, we need to expand on that. You know, we've had discussion about more nightlife in this community. We just haven't seen it come to fruition. But it's not just about the downtown area. As all of us here say, we want to expand that to every parts of this community. Because as I mentioned, every part of this community has to be treated equally. And as was mentioned, you know, by Alan, there are some parts of this community that don't feel they are treated equally. One segment of town can be kept pristine and the other not. So these are the things that we need to be diligent about and think about and have that conversation. And as I mentioned, let's make the entire city of Santa Fe equally, and it'll be a great city. It already is a great city.
Kate Noble.
Thank you all for coming and for engaging in this process. I truly have appreciated how many people are showing up to each and every forum to listen, pay attention, and engage, because this is really an exercise in community and in unlocking the power of this community. And I think it's been a wonderful process, and I'm very grateful to my colleagues up here for putting themselves out there and for doing this. And I know that this is about us. It's not about any one individual up here. It's about all of us moving forward. And I see that we can really look to the past to inform the future, because Santa Fe, it's the end of the Santa Fe Trail. It's part of El Camino Real. This is a place with a rich history as a crossroads, as a trading center, as a center for entrepreneurship. And we can build on that. And when we lose our way, we can look to our past, because there's always a clue there in who we are, in respecting the Native American traditions and understanding more and more every day how we can increasingly honor that and do some of the healing that needs to be done in the community. We have a vibrant healing arts community here, and that is a piece that has potential for greater tourism, but also just wellness in this community. And so truly thinking about the entrepreneurial traditions, what it took to make it here. This is a high place that's quite arid. There's not a lot of water, and so people have had to support each other and be hardy. I often think of actually a goat head as a decent metaphor for plants that thrive here. You know, it's mean, it's spiny, and it does really well, and you just can't ever really get rid of them. But it's something that it's important for us to think about what it has taken historically to survive and thrive here. And in informing our new economy and embracing that spirit of support and community and hardiness, I think we know that we can be the city different, do things that are differently, that are unique. We don't have to fall into the patterns at the national level of divisiveness or even just the sort of rote way of doing things and thinking, because we have to innovate. We have to survive differently, because the air is thin and there's not a lot of water. And truly, I think all of these metaphors can be informative as we look to evolving our economy. And we don't know. They say that 80% of the jobs today's sixth graders will have don't even exist yet. So we need to constantly innovate, update, and evolve.
Peter Ives.
I have to start my answer to this question by stating that I would never consider our historical traditions to be cultural artifacts. I think if we take that viewpoint of those traditions, then we have lost much of what makes Santa Fe the place that it is. I say that being a participant in an annual pilgrimage to Chimayo during Holy Week. I say that being often in the processions that we hold honoring the promise of de Vargas to Nuestra Señora de la Paz to hold a novena every year as the people come from all the churches, the Catholic churches in Santa Fe, and process through the streets and do masses at Rosario Chapel. I think of my wife, Patricia Salazar Ives, who is here in the audience tonight, and on Santa Clara Feast Day, she leaves our house early in the morning, goes down to Santa Clara and works in the kitchen of Joe Abeta's house. And we always get by there not only for the dances, but also to break bread with the people of Santa Clara, because that is part of their culture. Those historical traditions are not artifacts. They are part of everyday life in this community. And quite honestly, that is why they resonate, and that is why Santa Fe resonates across the world in terms of the creative economy, because it's that authentic cultural experience. And you only get that authentic cultural experience when that culture is vibrant, when that culture is real, when it is actually culture as opposed to show. That's when people understand what it is that makes Santa Fe such a wonderful place. That is what brings people back time and time again. Some 89% of the people who come to Santa Fe every year are making return trips, and some 30-plus percent supposedly are on their 10th trip or more. So there is something here that resonates, and it is that authentic experience. I had the privilege to do the city's UNESCO Creative Cities work over the last several years, and was invited to speak at the Third World Forum on Culture that UNESCO held a number of years ago. And I spoke about Santa Fe's markets. I spoke about the International Folk Art Market, about Indian Market and Spanish Market. And we are the envy of the world for those creative markets. So again, we need to continue those and living that authentic cultural experience.
I'd like to thank Creative Santa Fe and the New Mexico History Museum. I'd like to thank our audience for coming, and above all, the mayoral candidates. Thank you so much for being here tonight. You've now heard all five candidates, and this year, for the first time, you won't have to choose just one if you don't want to. If you like more than one candidate, you'll be able to mark more than one on your ballot thanks to ranked choice voting, which lets you rank the candidates in order of preference. If you have any questions about it, you can ask your election officials wherever you vote. Early voting has already begun, and Election Day is Tuesday, March 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, go out and vote. You've been listening to The Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is brought to you in part by Dotfoil Computer Services, providing computer repair and business services for Apple and PC. They're Santa Fe's only Apple-authorized service provider. You can find them on the web at dotfoil.com and in the Candyman Center in Santa Fe. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican. An independent newspaper since 1849, the New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.